On this episode of Chicago Beer Pass, Nick and I are blending some Goose Island and Phase 3 Ama Bird to see what the proper blend is, strawberry and coconut. And then we're coming at you with Beer Advocate's top 250 beers in the last 15 years. All that more on this episode. Here we are, hitting up events, drinking our way through Chicago beer, and trying not to miss a thing.
Yeah, because, you know, got a cork popped out, boom, it flies like fucking 10 feet. We're like, yeah, let's do it.
You know, all you have to do is add some fruit, stir it up, and ride that milkshake wave.
Whenever I see him, I gotta take a photo with the most decorated brewer in Chicago, Jonathan Cutler.
It'll be like the stuff you hear. You ever go to, every time you go to Floyd's, all the music sounds like this. Raw, raw, raw.
Sometimes you want a small beer, but really, you want a big beer.
You got to take in all those big, aromatic hops.
Hey, what are you doing this weekend? Waiting in line for a bottle release?
You should have never been a fad. The Black IPA is delicious.
Hey, and welcome to Chicago Beer Pass. I'm Brad Chmielewski.
Brad, what's up, man? I'm Nick White.
And Nick and I are sipping on some Around the Bend. We did a YouTube video before we did the episode, so be sure to check out the YouTube channel if you're not checking those out, because we got beer reviews, I don't know, a lot of them.
Yeah, we try to keep it short and sweet. And then, you know, Brad finds these beers that, I don't know what his game plan is, but he usually finds beers. And I'm like, oh, shit. I had no clue this thing existed, but let's drink it.
There's so much stuff. We had to start basically a second podcast just for that. So
I'm into it, though. Yeah, the Round of Bend was fun, too, man. It get overlooked. They make good beer. All they do is make good beer, and it gets lost in the shuffle, yeah. I would say. But they always deliver. I don't ever have a problem with them.
And we needed some sort of, like, backbone for what we're about to drink, which we could have drank. I think, you know, there's still some high life hanging around the office studio here. But we have maybe, like, a nice lager would have been good, but I think this haze is hitting the spot right now.
6.5, yeah.
Because so what are we drinking that? What are, like, Nick was talking about this last week on the last episode.
Hashtag fancy cups.
Double fancy cups too, right?
We're doing if you're a bird, I'm a bird. It's the P3 Goose Island collab.
Okay. So Nick was talking about this on our 312 episode. Speaking of our 312 episode, we were talking about YouTube, but you gotta check out our Instagram now, because we're making some reels here. We got winners.
We broke our reel cherry. We got a reel up. Old man, dad beer. Hashtag dad beer. Reel.
Oh, is that what that was?
They're like, oh man, big dad vibes coming from you guys. Somebody said that.
Oh, nice.
Like just a text.
I appreciate it.
Oh, like it's the dad beer spot, man.
Okay.
That's funny.
And I'm sure we'll do, I don't know, we're going to keep those going. They're kind of hilarious, stupid things. So.
Yeah, I dug it. I'm in. Mm-hmm. I'm in on the reels, man. That was cool.
So we got YouTube reels. And so, yeah, we were like all in on Goose Island last week. And here we are again, gushing all over Goose Island, the brewery we love to hate.
We got
to
knock this shit off, man. What are we doing?
Well, we were.
This is Big Brother.
I know. Pretty soon we'll be drinking Travis Scott's Cacti.
What the fuck is that?
Oh, you didn't see this? Yes. On St. Patrick's Day, they launched Cacti, an agave sparkling seltzer.
Oh, AB did?
Yeah, with Travis Scott as the sponsor.
Man, that dude is not playing games. He is buddied up with the corpse, man.
Right.
Good for him.
You know, they are really trying to get a lot of people to eat and drink very shittily. McDonald's and sparkling seltzer. Oh, let's go. Who, kids? Kids, you wanna get trashed and get fat? We got you covered. Travis Scott's going after it.
I wonder who made the proposal, right? Because if I was fresh off a McDonald's deal like Travis Scott, the first thing I would do is have my sights on the biggest brewery in the world. And right. Say, let's do something, or did AB engage?
I would not call AB a brewery. They are a beverage company at this point. I was listening to an interview as they talked about this Cacti thing. They're like, we got this agave seltzer. We got Bud Light seltzer. We got Bud Light lemonade seltzer. We got, I don't know, something else they mentioned in another one. It's like, oh, you guys aren't a brewery, although all those are brewed beverages, you're a beverage company.
Yeah, yeah. When you look at it like that, when you look at how much effort, money-wise and product-wise, they're putting into what is not a beer product.
Non-beer products. Non-beer products.
Yeah, they're expanding that line. Because there was just one seltzer at one point. Now it's not. Now there's more, it sounds like.
Right. Why you need it? Why there's an agave seltzer? I don't.
They're not going to let White Claw have all the fun, truly. Nah, they're not letting it have all the fun.
I don't think anyone's taking down White Claw.
Yeah.
It's sort of like no one took down Mike's Hard Lemonade. It just kind of fizzled out. There was no better Mike's Hard.
Yeah. That's true.
So Goose Island is an AB brewery who actually brews beer and not just seltzers.
They employ real Chicagoans, and they make beers that you can only buy at their Chicago facility.
Make beers you can drink by.
Did you find a lemon? Did you find a gigantic lemon over the break?
No.
Over the week?
No, I didn't.
Neither did I.
No. Okay. I ran by the brewery the day they were giving them out, and it was like kind of a madhouse there. So, yeah.
Would you keep the lemon or the bike?
Probably the bike. I think the lemon would be hilarious to have.
Keep the lemon for like a day.
But
then I want that.
The bike. Fact that you're like, now I got this giant lemon in the corner of my house.
No bad.
I can't do anything with it. It doesn't even have lemon juice in it.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah. No. All right, we got to get to
Goose. I know, we're off the rails here with this Goose shit. They somehow, well, these are two of the more well-known stout producers, like well-respected stout producers in Chicagoland.
Okay.
Right, Goose and Phase 3. A little bit of an odd couple, right? Oldest brewery in town, and one of the newer breweries, only 3 years old. The only beer that was tapped at Fulton that wasn't a Goose or a family beer was Phase 3 beer when they first launched.
Okay.
So that was the first time I saw this love affair. It had to be at the pregame to Bug a couple years ago.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, and we're just like all just kind of blown away.
So these two beers, they're supposed to be possibly mixed together or blended to make its own beer, but they are two different beers, right?
Yeah, I think they agreed that it should be a chocolate stout.
Right, so the Phase 3, it says an imperial stout brewed with vanilla? What?
Vanilla. I think that's vanilla? Mexican dessert sugar.
Okay.
That's the same.
Cocoa nibs and coconut. And then the Goose one is imperial stout brewed with vanilla, cocoa nibs, and natural strawberry. So we got coconut and strawberry.
Yeah.
Right? Okay. Yeah. What do we... You probably want to start coconut, right?
I don't know. It's up to you. It's your call.
Nick wants to start coconut.
I mean, we can start coconut. That's fine. I don't care.
I'm more on that strawberry game, but...
Yeah. Yeah, strawberry. I think the mixed two packs sold at Goose first, and then the next day they sold at Phase 3 online.
Probably we'll just do a little bit because we gotta get to the other one.
And they sold pretty quick. The mixed two packs sold, I'd say, in 25 seconds. They were saying.
Okay.
The mixed one, and then they sold their own, which stayed online for about a week, probably because Goose made so much of it because they can make a small run.
They can't make small. We only make a lot.
So theirs was up for a minute, and then Phase 3 did the same thing. So some mixed ones and then sold their own.
These glasses are kind of hard to drink out.
My beak leans on the glass. Mm-hmm. It's basically a stemless flute. Right, it's like a stemless champagne flute.
Oh, okay,
it's 8.5%, 8.5 ounces. The flute.
Okay, this beer is like that motor oily thick. It reminds me of the first time I went to Dark Lord Day, where I knew nothing about Dark Lord Day, and I got this beer, and was basically like, this beer just stained my hands kind of thing.
It stains everything.
And I was like, what is this? Yeah.
Yeah, it kind of lingers on your tongue. You cannot see through it. It kind of coats the glass and never uncoats it.
Right. It made it like what your grandparents probably had. All their glasses were that color growing up. It was either because they smoked in the house or all glasses had like that smoky yellow orange hue.
Very viscous. Yeah. This phase three, even on the can, the way it sits on the can, just very dark motor oil.
Mm-hmm. The coconut, I kind of get a little, but not like a lot.
I don't get a ton of it either. I wonder if we didn't pour enough, or did we let it warm up?
Okay. And then
I got a roasty bitterness. I got like a bitter chocolate. More than anything.
The goose one, we just opened that one. It almost looks a little bit of a, I know this is crazy, but like a little darker of a hue. Like,
get in there a little bit more, Brad.
Phase three one had a little bit of like that rubiness going, but for some reason the goose one looks, I don't know, just a slightly a hint darker or thicker even.
Yeah. Now, goose doesn't really, I do get strawberry on this. Kind of right away.
Yeah.
Okay. The goose one. Goose. Now, the phase three guys, even back when they were doing, Graham, Schomburger, Moore, they always released unbarrel aged stouts, right? And in fact, Curvature at phase three is non barrel aged. Mm-hmm. But goose, on the other hand, they don't really get into the non barrel aged stout release game too often, right?
Okay.
I want to say Big John. Right. That was the dry hop. The rumor is it's the dry hop version of BCS.
Right.
But what did they release?
But Night Stalker wasn't barrel aged, right?
Oh yeah, Night Stalker. I think maybe that was the dry hop one.
Yeah, but that wasn't true.
Okay.
That was a fake rumor.
Fake rumor. So we got Night Stalker and Big John are confirmed unbarrel aged releases from Goose.
Mm-hmm.
And these are fucking, this had to be like 10 years ago. Both of these beers, right?
The strawberry is very strong in the goose one. But this is a super cool concept. I feel like the only other brewery I've seen doing this blending thing, or we're going to blend them here in a minute, is that like Colors.
Yeah, which he's like, what is he, a home brewer? And you can like take a mixed four pack of his for a spin.
Right, they're little cans.
The little buddy cans. He got the last of the little buddy cans.
I guess we should have ordered some of those.
Yeah, little buddy's now big buddy. It's not the same as big buddy, by the way.
Oh, are they big buddies?
It's big buddy.
Oh,
it's just
I haven't seen the big cans
with the little buddy label size on it.
It should be little buddy all grown up. So that's what they
have. I just said big buddy. I'm like, it's not the same.
Little buddy all grown up.
But yeah, you're encouraged to mix those cans. I know what you're talking about.
Yeah. You've probably seen them on, if you're on beer Instagram, you've probably seen people posting.
If you're even part of beer IG.
Come on. So I feel like this is but a great concept, though, to get people to, one, get beers from other breweries. The collaboration thing, I think, is still going to be strong this year because everyone needs to cross-promote with each other to move traffic around.
A rising tide floats all ships, man.
Right.
First time I heard that statement was Bobby the Booch.
No.
I have no idea what the fuck he was saying, but that's what he said.
That's what he said, yeah.
It's true, though.
All right.
Yeah. Reminds us to try Goose outside of BCS season. And you know what? Give Goose a chance at doing something stout-wise, right? Because it's like, all right, Goose is like, hey, we're making a stout. Is it BCS? No. All right, cool. Well, what is it? Let's get over there and get some excitement around it. Let's find out. Mm-hmm. So, that was cool.
How do you think Finch feels about?
I was not expecting that.
Feels about Phase Three's like this name of this beer. If you're a bird, I'm a bird.
Yeah, Finch was the original.
Put a bird on it, kind of thing.
They were the crew that, although a goose is a bird. Finch embraced the bird motif.
The Portlandia bird.
More than anyone else. They were all in on the bird thing.
And now Phase Three is it's a hummingbird, right?
Is that what this is?
I thought theirs is a hummingbird.
Is it a red breast? I have no fucking idea what kind of bird it is. Is this a cardinal? It's got a long ass beak.
I think that's the hummingbird.
I think you're right.
So it's the hummingbird and goose. And the brewery that's like all about the bird thing is left out.
And they are literally what? Are they next door to Goose?
Spitting distance.
Oh, man.
You see these other birds walk up, and you're not invited to the bird party?
The bird party. You're not invited to... Finch was not invited to the bird party. Yeah, that's gotta be tough.
I just feel like the name of the beer has to sting a little for them. They could have done this at the Perch.
They could have done a three-way.
Yeah.
They could have done a three-way. Yeah. And they didn't. And
they could have done the vanilla strawberry chocolate.
They could have done the Neapolitan three-way and included their next-door neighbors at Finch, and they did not. God, Brad, you are horrible, man. But it's true, though. It's also true. I didn't put that in. I didn't tie that together. It's also true.
Right. Okay, so we need to blend this now, right?
Yeah.
That's kind of like the final step of this. Are we blending in this glass? Are we blending to the second fancy glass?
It is up to you. These have limitations. They're cute.
We can keep going with this glass. I'm going to go strawberry on the bottom. I don't know. I don't know what the rules are here.
Speaking of strawberry, one of my favorite beers from Goose was...
I have a little more coconut, right?
My very first time at Goose, we did the tour, and we had Neapolitan BCS.
Okay.
From a little pony keg. And I'm just like, I have no idea what's happening right now, but this is it. This is where it's at right here. That was our very first private tour at Goose. That's the only time. That's the end of my story. That's the only time I've had anything with strawberry.
With strawberry?
Was Neapolitan BCS.
The blend of this, it doesn't hurt either one. It mellows out that strawberry a lot. I don't think it makes a better beer. It makes a third beer.
Yeah. Are we, are they greater? Is the mix greater than the sum of its parts?
Here? Yeah. And no.
Right. First reaction is no, it's not. Mm-hmm. I enjoy the, you know, maybe when it warms up, the coconut comes out more, but out the can, that fucking strawberry pops, which I'm actually kind of into it. I'm into the strawberry, actually.
The blend mellows out the strawberry a lot, which if you're not down with that strawberry flavor, then the blend's the way to go. I guess I think the fun part about this is if you get a 4-pack or a 2-pack or a single pack, you like one or the other, you blend it, you get to make a beer maybe you like more. You're like, I like 3 parts coconut and 1 part strawberry.
Yeah, and I imagine that's what brewers are doing. Well, obviously, that's what brewers are doing.
Yeah.
You know, it reminded me of, they on Tap Deck at Goose, there was a, you know, Dave Totes, right? Everybody knows Dave Totes. Mm-hmm. He would always say, you know, they got to bring back Nut Brown because around the brewery, all they do is 3 parts Nut Brown, 1 part Bourbon County.
Okay. Right?
And that's how you, because in the summer, you can't just do 12 ounces of Bourbon County. You got to cruise with it. So we blend it with Nut Brown.
Okay.
So, I mean, this whole idea of blending is like you said, super fucking fun. And it's a new way to, and it's a way to kind of celebrate Chicagoland breweries too. The oldest game in town with one of the newer kids in town, making stouts that are universally loved around these parts. And, part's cool.
That's cool. All right. We're gonna sip on this. You know, we, gushed about these beers long enough. We'll sip on them, let them warm up, see if we have any thoughts at the end of the episode. But what else? What else happened this week? It snowed, and it was St. Patrick's Day, and now it's nice again. It's been one of the strangest weeks for me.
Yeah, I had a Guinness.
Okay.
I forget that Guinness has 20 different versions of that beer, and that's why it's so popular worldwide. Because they make different versions for
strawberry Guinness.
There's a strawberry Guinness. I don't know if there's a strawberry one.
There's a coconut Guinness.
But I think there's like a Dublin Porter and an Antwerp Porter, and you know, different degrees of roastiness versus sweetness.
Yeah, there's the extra foreign stout. There.
Yeah, some are 4%, some are 8%.
I think there's like just the lager version too, right? Like more of an amber. Doesn't Guinness have like an amber?
Yeah.
It might be the one brewed here in the U.S., but
yeah. So, had a Guinness, which I never make it around to, but I enjoy the hard pour.
Right.
And the fucking cascading is always fun. And so I did that.
Yeah. I don't mind a Guinness. There is something about a Guinness I don't always want. Like, I'm good. I'm usually like a, if I have one, I don't want more Guinness.
Guinness.
But that's me. I don't.
Guinness goes, it's great with food.
Yeah.
But, and the nitro looks great in that Guinness cup. But yeah, like to your point, when we went to Guinness, I think after the very first Guinness to greet you at a bar, after every other bar after that, everyone's looking, what's up with the Irish whiskey?
Yeah.
It's just very filling. Guinness is just very filling. And you don't, it's not a, I don't know, it is a session porter.
It's like 4.5%, right?
But it's not necessarily something I just want to keep pounding.
I think it's that the nitro gassiness of it makes you fuller than you actually are. Like, you feel much more full. And
I don't know if it's a rewarding feeling.
No, but.
I'm not rewarded. I drank all this Guinness and I don't feel it.
Because you can drink a can of this bird beer.
I'm happier. Instantly, I'm happier.
Right. And you're not as, you're drunk. You're full in like a dessert full.
Yeah.
But Guinness leaves you full in like a, I don't know, it's like a satisfied fill. Like you had your drink and it's like meant to be like, that's it. Fill you up. Move on.
Yeah.
So, but I don't know. There's nothing. It's a, an amazing beer, and kudos to them. Like, I have no, like, I'm, there's no shade.
Yeah. No, yeah.
I just, like, I'm like good with one.
No, same. Yeah, even around the circuit, I'm more excited about learning about the ones that I can't get.
Mm-hmm.
And they know that. They know that, too. That's why you can't get them. But they need to not fuck around and have, like, a mix of all of them.
Yeah.
Because the labels are cool, and then you can, you know, run through this little bit of history. You know, like, it was like the one time that Wes Vletteren Beer Adam sold me a brick of West Vletteren.
Yeah.
To the first time to United States. Like, just sell them. Guinness needs to do something like that. One time drop, all the fucking, or the six, a mix six of all these different ones.
The classic Guinnesses.
Yeah. I'd like to see that.
Guinness I? Guinness E?
Yeah. You know, sales. So, but, yeah.
Well, it's St. Patrick's Day. You got to have a Guinness. I didn't have a Guinness.
Have a Guinness. Listen to the St. Patrick's Day radio on Sirius all day.
Okay.
I have the bagpipes.
The Southside Irish.
Southside Irish. No parade.
That Southside Irish song is pretty great.
Oh, I don't know that one.
I don't know all the words. But
I should find it.
It's
now.
Pretty. It's basically like, if you're not Southside Irish, you're not Irish. That's basically the gist of the song. So that's great. And you went to phase three.
Went up to third phase, all 45 miles each way.
Okay.
You know, they got a ton of barrels out there, outside barrels. So everyone's doing their thing. And we were saying in the pre-show over ATB that, you know, I wouldn't say I'm acclimated to drinking at breweries, but being outside with my own fucking barrel 6 feet away from other folk, you know, I'm actually okay. I'm on board with that.
When you drink a barrel of beer, you're feeling fine.
I'm fine with that. You know, we got Curvature on the table, and Curvature from a year ago. Curvature, that release was in the tap room. In the brewery, because there was no tap room.
Oh, okay.
So this was my first time seeing the whole operation.
That's cool.
So when you walk in, you know. You get your beers and your fancy cup, and then if you want your beer to go, you got to walk through you still got to walk back to the brewery to get it.
Yeah.
And then they got a bunch of merch and shit back there to sell you.
Cool. Nice.
Shout out to Hardcore Craft Beer. I ran into him up there.
Oh, nice.
And
he's been going strong on Instagram.
Oh, and dude. They get after it. I had to ask him. I'm like, you know, he would be a good person to ask. I'm like, are we, you know, if you drink every day, are we alcoholics? Or not? He's like, are you running from something, Nick? I'm like, I don't think so. He's like, well, you know, drinking every day and getting time one on every day and getting hammered every day, you know, those are different things. If you're getting hammered every day, then maybe you're an alcoholic. If you're having a couple beers every day and you're getting hammered maybe like once or twice a week, then maybe you're not an alcoholic. Still inconclusive, but at least.
Sounds like what an alcoholic might say. I'm not. I know people that get way more drunk than me.
Yeah. There's different levels of fucked up. Are you as fucked up as you can be every day? Then yeah, you are. But if you're not as fucked up as you can be,
I just do heroin like once or twice a week. I'm not like living on the street.
So I can work more hours. So I can buy more heroin.
Yeah, I don't know. I'm just doing this to get my. I don't...
So I can, you know. So I can work more. So I can make more money. So I can buy more heroin. It's like the commercial. It's like the drug prevention commercials from the 80s.
Oh yeah. All right, nice, good. Glad he's doing well, and you know, seeing all the beers he's drinking is kind of like, oh, man, that guy gets after some good stuff.
Yeah, he said he's still holding fast to 3 non-drinking days.
Oh, okay.
Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. Okay. He said that was his non-drinking days. I'm like, that's cool.
Nice.
Maybe I'll try that.
Okay, think about it. Yeah, the only thing I hit up was around the bend, pick up this beer. I am gonna go cruise by Temperance over the weekend and do the tailgate hangout kind of thing again. We were talking about that last time, and we mentioned a new brewery in Evanston that was opening up.
And it's not the taco joint that Sean Curry and those boys set up with a one barrel system. It's not that joint in Wilmette.
No, it's this spot that he mentioned. He sent me a link. They're trying to open. It's called Double Clutch.
Okay.
They're not open yet, but they have, you know, it's like craft beer, cocktails, lunch, dinner, brunch, late night. Their website is basically like a makeshift kind of thing. So,
speaking of Evanston, I saw that Smiley Brothers is opening in Lakeview. They got a Lakeview location.
Right. I think that was a spot that... Beguile was going to look at when they thought about opening a cider place.
Oh, yeah. Broken Nose Cider.
Yeah. But I think since his brother has two towns, it just kind of made sense to just support two towns and rather than do cider here, too.
Okay.
That's cool for Smiley. I have mixed opinions about their beer.
I think the Purple Line will still sell.
Yeah.
That's Purple Line goes all the way downtown.
So. I've only been to the one in Evanston once. It doesn't drive me there.
Beer I've had is Purple Line.
Yeah. I don't live in Evanston. Maybe if I lived in Evanston, I might go there, but it doesn't bring me out. So.
That's E Town to you, bud.
E Town. Cool. What other spots? Oh, there was, we're speaking of tacos, Ravinia. Our Maplewood stop, right?
Yeah, Maplewood. It was the old Maplewood train station.
They're like ready to open, and they like haven't invited us out.
I don't understand what's going on there.
Yeah. They know we love them, and we love their tacos, and they're not hitting us up. But their space is looking nice.
What have you done?
It's not me. It's them.
It'd be nice to check out what they're doing. I think we were there the night they had there was a party there.
It wasn't Super Bowl. The Bears were playing.
It was like a Monday night Bears game. And they had like a little party.
Was this a Monday night football night?
I feel like it. Oh. Yeah. And they brought a bunch of beer in from Highland Park.
It might have been the first Bears game of that season.
Something
right?
like that.
That sounds right.
Yeah, that sounds right.
It sounds like a thing.
Yeah. That was a good time. We saw the brew system. We talked about how they watched Brad on TV in fucking Japan, I think one of them.
No,
China, right?
New Zealand.
New Zealand? Yeah.
New Zealand. Australia.
They were like, yeah, we were over on the other side of the globe and we were watching Brad. I was like, that's fucking cool.
International, man. that's how big I am.
International man of mystery over here, this fucking guy. but we haven't been back since, to your point.
Yeah. So we need to check that out. They have great, like, summer crushable beers. Like, you just want to hang out in the park, you want to ride your bike, get on the boat, whatever you're doing. Summertime fun beers.
Yeah, I like the lager, I like the IPA. They got a Belgian called Drunk Rooster. I think I got down on Saison.
Yeah.
Yeah, so, I mean, I like their stuff. They seem pretty chill. I had a good time with them.
Yeah.
You know, so.
Definitely, cool. And then you had a list of the best beers in the world or something, right?
or something. Yeah, man. You know, old school, man. Beer Advocate. Remember them?
Ooh, are they? How active do you think? Is that site still super active?
That's a good question. I think, all right, so I got these Goose beers off this Ozanar app, right? And Ozanar is, parent company is like Glass Ceiling, I think it's called. I think that's what it's called.
Okay.
Oh, but anyway, Glass Ceiling or whatever it's called. The parent company owns Untappd, Ozanar, and Beer Advocate.
Okay. I'm sure it's... it pops up when you search for beers most of the time. So
yeah, and I think one of the original forums of beer that probably turned into a magazine and a festival, I'm guessing, was Beer Advocate. So Beer Advocate sent out an email. It's called the Beers of Fame list. So it's the top 250 rated beers of all time at Beer Advocate.
And we're not going to go over all 250.
No, of the last 15 years. These are beers that are still being produced, that have been on their list and been rated all over the last 15 years.
Okay.
Yeah. So I, it would make sense to just do the Chicagoland ones. How's that sound?
Yeah. Okay. Let me know where they rank. I feel like, you know, we're doing Chicagoland, but I'm sure like a Three Floyds beer rates up there.
Funny you say that, because there's only two Chicagoland breweries on the whole fucking list. Goose Island Bourbon County Style's number five.
Five beers forever time.
Number five.
Okay.
Number five is Goose Island Bourbon County Stout. All the other beers from Chicagoland, all 250, are fucking Three Floyds beers. So we'll name, this is a Three Floyds list I'm about to read you. 250, let's start.
That's bullshit, because Daisy Cutter should have made that list, right? Yeah. Like,
and we'll go over the criteria again. I don't know if there is a criteria. Number one was Heady Topper, right? These are the top... These are the best beers on the planet, the top-rated beers since they were added to Beer Advocate as of March 2004 until now.
Okay. Man. Okay, I still believe Daisy Cutter should fall on that list.
Yeah. It's this list is something.
All right. What are the Floyd's beers?
All right. Number 223, Alpha Claws. I actually like Alpha Claws. That was the precursor to the Black IPA.
Okay. Okay.
I like Alpha Claws. Let's see. 209, Moloko. What is that there? Milk Stout.
Milk Stout. Okay, Moloko is, it's fun beer. I haven't had it in years, but.
Same. Oh, sorry. 125, Gumball Head.
Okay.
That's fair.
I think Gumball Head deserves, Gumball Head.
Was a moment.
I think that, I don't know, people chased that. That was like the first, I don't know, non-whale kind of beer, non-limited release beer people like chased, right? Okay.
No, that's true, what Brad said. 110, Behemoth. Behemoth, man.
Behemoth is good, but I don't know if it deserves a spot.
I'll tell you something about barley wine, man. Barley wine is life, Brad. Okay. Number 93, Alpha King, the flagship.
Okay.
That's a statue outside the building.
Yeah, all right.
Yeah, I think the sales kind of rotated between the top two spots all over a calendar year were always one and two, Gumball Head and Alpha King, and they would rotate.
And then Zombie Dust probably crushed both of those after a while.
After a while, yeah. Number 31, Dreadnought. I always credit Dreadnought as being one of the beers that really got me into beer.
Yeah, but is Dreadnought better than, I don't know where, Two Hearted is on this list?
Yeah, where's Two Hearted? Number 38 is Raspberry Tart from New Glarus.
Oh.
Number 35 is Wisconsin Belgian Red from New Glarus.
Okay. Those are fun beer. They're like, those are beers you want a taste of. Like, they are so sweet.
Yeah. And number five, Bourbon County Stout.
Okay. So Zombie doesn't even make it. I think Daisy Cutter deserves a spot on there. I think it put Half Acre on the map. I think it solidified Chicago beer as like something to have to get. Although, you know, Bourbon County's on there, but Goose was kind of in its own boat there.
Yeah, and then, you know, to be fair, the entire top 10 is all either Cantillon, Russian River, or really just Cantillon, Russian River, and a ton of Founder stuff, the old school Founder stuff.
I think one of my like favorite lifetime stories I think was ever going to be riding scooters to Cantillon.
Yeah.
When
I'm jealous of this story, yeah.
That Maeve and I just we got on basically the scooters on the side of the street and rode them to Cantillon and then couldn't figure out how to get inside. And then we got inside and we're like, all right. It was like a bunch of people, a lot of like Asian tourists just loading up bags and bags of their beer.
It's the one, it's still the one beer where you're like, so Lou Pepe is number 8 and Lou Pepe Frambois is number 10 and Saint Lambinius is number 12. They're probably, you know, if we did a post on like IG or something, you know, the Creek Lambic is number 40. If we did a list on of all these, if we broke down this list, I would say Cantillon and Russia River are on that list the most.
Okay,
cool. Out of the 250.
And the other one you said, Hetty Topper is number 1.
Hetty Topper's number 1.
The fact that Ken and I did that on the Hopcast, and then we took Hetty Topper to go, and we were just drinking it, walking down the street to go to Arame on Chicago Avenue. So we're literally just drinking Hetty Topper as a to-go beer to go get sushi.
There are very few things that are better than fresh Hetty Topper. I will agree with that.
And that was at the point where we never had a hazy beer. We didn't understand why they were like, drink this in the can, not of the glass, because it looked disgusting.
Yeah.
But it tasted great. And we were literally just drinking the number one beer in the world.
And that's the
walking down the street of Chicago.
Be the only beer they make, right? When you look at
No, they make some other ones. And they're good. They make good beers.
Should we run through the top 5?
All right, give it.
All right. Number 5, Bourbon County Stout. Number 4, Fu Foon from Cantillon. Number 3, Pliny the Elder. Number 2, Pliny the Younger. Number 1, Hetty Topper.
Okay.
Yeah. So
nice.
Highest rated beers of all time from Beer Advocate for the last 15 years that are still being produced.
Okay.
Yeah. Hmm. So that's a fun list. That was a nice little walk down memory lane.
Yeah. Yeah. Cantillon beers are, they are great, but I think the fact that they are very hard to get
kind of plays into it.
Yeah. And I think, the Goose Island being number 5, and it's a very easy beer to get, makes it probably, I don't know, it stands above the rest. Like, Hetty Topper is hard to get, but it's number 1, but a lot of people have had it. So, yeah. I don't know, Cantillon, it's tough because it's a global list, too. So
I'd be, I think Cantillon is, anything from Cantillon, I'd be excited to take to, like, a bottle share or a Friendsgiving. You know, more than in almost any other beer. You know, if the world was open and we said, hey, we're having a bottle share, what are you bringing? I'm like, sure, I'm gonna try to find me a Cantillon to bring.
If you had it.
If I had it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It wouldn't show up with your Guinness.
But look at this widget. It makes it a nitro experience in the can, man. See, look, you hear that? That's science right there.
Well, any final thoughts on the I'm a Bird?
Coconut's coming out.
Okay.
Coconut's coming out more. And I tell you, I had them on draft and I went to phase 3. And all I got on draft was roast initially. Like roast and like bitter chocolate on the goose one. And it was way more roast than on the fucking phase 3 one. Phase 3, even when it was cold, straight off the tap, you got the coconut right away. But out the can, the goose one really shines, and I think I like it out the can just as much as I like the phase 3 one. But on draft, it was a different experience. The strawberry didn't pop the same way on draft for me.
Okay,
so,
cool.
Yeah, so today was cool because it's a totally different vibe from drinking it on draft.
Oh, nice. All right, I'm sure Nick and I will finish these 12.5% beers, but we're going to get out of here. Like we said, check out the YouTube channel. Check out the Instagram. We're always posting up photos almost every day of beers we're drinking. The podcast coming out. Well, I finally got our old one up, so it was twice this week.
At some point, the podcast
usually comes up every week. So We're always back at it. But Nick, where can people find you? Get in touch when we're not here.
Right on, man. I'm on Twitter at Nicosio.
And as he comes out of his hermit life, you might be able to see him around.
I'm starting to work my way out of it, man. Yeah. I didn't think we'd make it here.
All right, and I'm getting out there too. Be over at Temperance. You can follow me on Twitter at BRad, Chicago Beer Pass. Like I said, Instagram, Twitter. And I was bitching about Cactus Jacks. What is cacti?
He's out here trying to get it. Strike while you're hot, man. Yeah. He's out here trying to get it.
I was celebrating St. Patrick's Day by drinking that Bud Light lime seltzer. And
did you drink it? Did you love it?
No, I didn't have any, but it was green, right? So it counts. No.
Man, I drank a shitty green beer. I'm like, this is dumb. I can't ever do this again.
You can just put some food color dots into your haze. Call it a day.
Green beer is dumb.
All right. Take care.
Cheers.